The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas join us in the United States. And Cal, is it the case that the US presidential election essentially will all come down to who wins the state of Pennsylvania?
Well, not only Pennsylvania, Matt. We've talked about this before. There are six states that are key, among others, Wisconsin and Nevada, Arizona. It's going to be a close race. The national polls show a virtual tie, but the national polls are not as meaningful as those in the swing states. And yes, Pennsylvania is key. That's why both Trump and Kamala Harris are spending so much time there. Fracking is still a major issue in western Pennsylvania. She has said she was against it. Now she's okay with it. She's flipped on a number of things, but then so is Trump. So yeah, Pennsylvania will be key. North Carolina, which is a problem now because of the Republican nominee for governor. You may want to get to it in a few minutes.
We will.
But ultimately, it all boils down to turnout. Who can persuade the most people from their point of view and their party to turn out and vote either early, as early voting has already started, which I think is a mistake, or on election day?
But Cal, a number of people have asked me to explain swing states because they wonder what the heck does this actually mean? So you have this electoral college system, which is not necessarily representative of the overall vote because it subdivides to the states and has states have a certain number of electors who go to elect the president. But why is it then that you have a swing state? Is it that you don't know whether it's going to go Democratic or Republican and it's in play, whereas many other states almost invariably go either Republican or Democrat?
Right. Well, the founders of this country did not want the bigger states to have a larger influence over the smaller states. So, for example, you have both New York and California, which have been reliably Democratic for many, many years. Illinois is another state. But the swing states are the other ones, the ones that have enough electoral votes, even after all of the others are counted, New York, California, Illinois, to make a difference to get to the required 270 electoral votes that any candidate needs to win the presidency.
Okay, Marion McKeown, is it all going to come down to eventually when the other swing states have allocated their electoral votes to who wins Pennsylvania? How many votes does Pennsylvania have?
Pennsylvania has 19 electoral college votes now, Matt. It used to have 20, but when they redid the census, following the census, they took a vote away from Pennsylvania, a vote away from California, New York, I think, and a couple of other states. The net result of that is that Republicans are in a better position in this election, just in terms of the number of electoral college votes they've gained. They gained in Florida and in Texas as well. I was chatting with Congressman Brendan Boyle about this just a little while ago, and he believes that Kamala Harris and the Democrats really cannot win, and he said this for a long time, the election if they don't win Pennsylvania. And I think he's right, because just because of the way these swing states goes, it's profoundly undemocratic. I have to say that the votes of the voters in small red states like Wyoming are worth about four times more than the vote of somebody who lives in California. It is profoundly undemocratic. And you know what, all that happens is all of the other states are ignored except for these states. For the last several months, this is the only place that both the candidates have been going. They go to New York and California to raise money, and then they just focus the whole ground game in the swing states. But I don't. If Kamala Harris were to lose Pennsylvania, and even if she won Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Nevada, she would still lose the election. Even if she wins the popular vote by several million votes, which a number of Republicans have said to me, they're looking at that scenario, that for the third time in a quarter of a century, it's possible that the Democratic candidate could win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College vote. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but Pennsylvania is going to be very tough for her. I've always said that she made a mistake picking Tim Walz. Yes, he's a very nice guy. Yes, everybody loves him. But the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro, is a very, very popular governor. He's a Democrat. He has about a 65% approval rating. And I think he would have brought the state. And I think that that should have been the pragmatic decision they made, but too late for that now.
Let's hear a little bit of the speech that Donald Trump gave when he was in Pennsylvania at the weekend, in which he promised to protect women.
I always thought women liked me. I never thought I had a problem. You will be protected, and I will be your protector. Women will be happy, healthy, confident, and free. You will no longer be thinking about abortion.
Explain all that, Marion.
Yeah, and you forgot the bit where he said they'll no longer be lonely, scared, or abandoned. You know, it's that a in 2024, never mind in 1924, that a presidential candidate would speak about women in that way is so galling. It's so disgusting. And as well, it's such nonsense, you know, that he's saying if he's elected president, women won't even be thinking about abortions. What, you know, just the, it's such an asinine, stupid thing to say. I don't know how women can listen to that and their blood doesn't boil. The paternalism, the patronization, never mind his record with women, his record of multiple sexual assault, his record of boasting about being able to sexually assault women with impunity, never mind the way he's spoken about multiple women and the misogyny with the way he speaks about Kamala Harris. I just find it absolutely revolting.
Carl, tell me about Mark Robinson, a man who's running for governor in North Carolina, and why he has become such a problem for the Republicans.
Well, let me say first, Matt, that I completely agree with what Marion just said. As far as Mark Robinson, he's an African-American. Republicans like to find minorities who are conservative because they think that that helps with a minority vote. Unfortunately, after he was nominated, they apparently didn't do their due diligence and background checks. He called himself a black Nazi. He's been on porn sites writing all kinds of crazy stuff. He's tried to get out of it by saying, no, that wasn't me, but the proof is just overwhelming against him. And as Karl Rove, the former George W. Bush advisor, wrote in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago, the Republicans seem to be on a kamikaze mission. They nominate again, this time, as they did 4 years ago in Georgia and some other states, candidates who just can't win. They appeal to the fringe of the party, but not to the middle of the party, which is necessary in order to win elections. The guy's a total kook, but unfortunately, it's apparently too late to remove him.
And Marion, is Trump standing by him?
And I just wanted to say, Cal, I agree with you right back and all of that. Trump is standing by him. And not only that, but J.D. Vance did the most squirmy, cringe-inducing, where he tried to say, well, I'm not saying I believe him, but I'm not saying I don't believe him. And then he tried to blame the media, of course, that reliable old whipping dog, for in the first place raising this issue as though this is not a legitimate news story. If a candidate for a governor's race in a big state describes himself as a black Nazi on a social media site, and that, not to mention all of the other vile things he said on the same site. So J.D. Vance's problem is not that he said these things, it's that the media is covering it. Trump and Vance, you know, like all of this guy's staff have resigned, his campaign manager, deputy campaign manager, all of them, they're all gone. But Trump and Vance, because Trump, let's not forget, described him as a turbocharged Martin Luther King on steroids, has constantly spoken about what a great man he is, what a great individual he is, has introduced about rallies. Now, he didn't appear at Trump's most recent rally in North Carolina, but they haven't actually come out and condemned what he said. J.D. Vance did a mealy mouth, if he said it, it's a bit gross or whatever.
North Carolina into play, and that one that you would have expected the Republicans to win, that if this undermines the Republican vote, that now there's a chance that Kamala Harris could win the state.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, reverse coattails, as they call it, don't happen very often. But what could happen is people could be so disgusted by this that they might just, you know, if they were Republican-inclined voters or independent, they might just stay at home. You know, North Carolina has always been a bit of a fever dream for Democrats. They've won it once in about, I think, six elections. But the last time, Biden only lost by about 70,000 votes. And Harris has been making some kind of grounds there. So I think they feel that it is in play. And certainly Mark Robinson is not helping the Republicans to turn out on election day.
Now let's talk about Kamala Harris, the Democratic nominee, who surprised a lot of people, I think, in the recent debate with Trump by referring to herself as a gun owner. She spoke more about this to Oprah Winfrey. Let's hear a bit of it.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later.
Okay, what do you make of this, Cal, that Kamala Harris is saying she is a gun owner? Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe it. And the obvious follow-up question should have been, what kind of gun do you own? I don't believe that for a minute. She's part of a party and a wing of that party that has been for more and more gun control, in some cases even gun confiscation of certain categories of weapons. We've never heard this. I've never heard this from her when she was attorney general, when she was a senator, and while she's been vice president. This is totally new to me. So if Oprah Winfrey were a real journalist, she would have said, well, tell us what kind of gun you own.
Okay. What do you make of the fact that, and I'll stay with you, Cal, for this, there's a thing called the Al Smith Dinner, a thing that takes place in New York in the run-up to the presidential election, and Kamala Harris has decided to give it a pass. Who was the last Democratic candidate not to turn up at the Al Smith Dinner, Cal?
Oh, golly, you're testing, well, it would be Walter Mondale.
Correct.
84, and he lost 49 states. I don't think that's going to happen this time. But the Al Smith Dinner has been, Al Smith being the first Roman Catholic Democratic presidential candidate not quite a century ago. It's a benefit for Catholic charities who do a lot of great work in New York with Catholic schools and other things. I know that Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, has, as Marion has pointed out, done some very questionable, to put it charitably, things, covering up for sexual abuse in the church, moving priests around instead of defrocking them. But I think we want to put the personalities aside and focus on the great work that Catholic charities do. I think Harris not coming is continuing the pattern of her stealth campaign. I've called it in my column today like an arranged marriage. You don't know anything about the bride you're about to marry. And we know so little about Kamala Harris. These are usually very fun things. Hillary Clinton showed up with Donald Trump in the last election cycle when they were running against each other. And it's a lot of fun, and they poke fun at each other. But clearly Harris doesn't want to expose herself in this way. And I think that's too bad.
Yeah, but Marion, she is willing to do a second TV debate on CNN. It seems to be Trump who's the one who's running from the TV debate.
Exactly. And Cal, I attended the one in New York in 2016, which was Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, if that was your idea of fun, and I don't think it is, Cal, because as we all know, you've got a pretty good sense of humor. It was the most horrible display. The audience booed Trump. He used the opportunity to just call Hillary Clinton the most horrible names and say she was corrupt and sneer at her. It was the least funny. It was a horrible, horrible event. And as I said, the crowd booed, but except for, of course, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who loves to boast about how close he and Trump are and what great friends they are, who leaned over and shook hands with him to congratulate him when he came off the dais. You know, I mean, this is an event that I actually think, I totally respect Kamala Harris for bypassing it. As you said, Dolan is one of the worst offenders when it came to the child sex cover-up abuses. He moved around $57 million that he said were going to be invested in cemeteries, if you don't mind, to avoid making payouts to child victims. I think she's absolutely right. He's a Trump-loving, you know, a Trump suck-up enabler. And I think she's, you know, the Al Smith family, I respect what they do. I respect their philanthropy. But I think she's absolutely right to stay well away from this one.
Okay. Actually, Marion, tell us about the money that Melania Trump is getting from the Republicans, LGBT Pew Plus group.
Yes, we don't know where it's come from, though. Melania Trump got $237,000 to address the Log Cabin Republicans, which is a pro-LGBTQ Republican group. Now, if anybody has heard Melania Trump give speeches in the past, I don't think she'd be at the top of anyone's speakers list, to be quite honest. I have no idea why they thought she was worth $237,000. But also, we don't know who paid it. They said they didn't pay it. It's in her financial statements. So if the log cabin people didn't pay it, then who did? Was there some benefactor? Is this another Trump family grift? Who knows?
Yeah, the cryptocurrency route as well, Cal, I see. But actually, we don't have time, unfortunately, to talk about that. Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, as ever, thank you so much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.